ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 Chapter 13, Indra Afflicted by Sinful Reaction, text number 13. Tam Darsa Anudhanvatam. Excuse me. The Darsanudhavantim Chandhalim Iva Rupinim Jaya, Jaya Vipamanangim Yakshma Grastam Ashrik Patam Tandadarsanu Harantim Chandhalim Iva Rupinim Jaya Vapamhanangim Yakshmagrastang Ashwikpatam Tandadarsan Havantim Chandhalim Iva Rupinim Jaya Vipumhanangin Yakshmagrastang Ashikpatam Tangdarsanuhavantin Chandhaling Iparupinim Jaya Vipumhanangin Yakshma Grastang Ashikpatam. Mataji's. Tam, the sinful reaction. The darsha, he saw, anudhavanding, chasing, chandhaling, a woman of the lowest class, iva, like, rupinim, taking a form, jaya, because of old age, vipamana, anging, whose bodily limbs were trembling. Yakshmagrastam, infected with tuberculosis. Ashrikpatam, whose clothes were covered with blood. Vikirya, scattering. Palitan, grayed. Keshan, hair. Tishta tishta, wait, wait. Iti, thus. Bhasinim, calling. Minagandhi, the smell of fish. Ashu, whose breath. Gandhena, by the odor. Kurvating, bringing about. Margadushanam, the pollution of the whole street. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Indra saw personified sinful reaction chasing him, appearing like a Chandala woman, a woman of the lowest class. She seemed very old, and all the limbs of her body trembled because she was afflicted with tuberculosis. Her body and garments were covered with blood, breathing an unbearable fishy odor that polluted the entire street. She called to Indra, "Wait, wait." Purport. When a person is afflicted with tuberculosis, he often vomits blood, which makes his garments bloody. So there's not much I can say about this purport. We'll go right on. I'll probably finish the chapter here. There's quite a few verses. I'll just read the English. This is text 14. O king, Indra first fled to the sky, but there also he saw the woman of personified sin chasing him. This witch followed him wherever he went. At last, he very quickly went to the northeast and entered the Manasa Sarovara Lake. Text 15. Always thinking of how he could be relieved from the sinful reaction for killing a Brahmana, King Indra, invisible to everyone, lived in the lake for 1,000 years in the subtle fibers of the stem of a lotus. The fire god used to bring him his share of all yajnas, but because the fire god was afraid to enter the water, Indra was practically starving. Text 16. As long as King Indra lived in the water, wrapped in the stem of the lotus, Nahusha was equipped with the ability to rule the heavenly kingdom due to his knowledge, austerity, and mystic power. Nahusha, however, blinded and maddened by power and opulence, made undesirable proposals to Indra's wife with a desire to enjoy her. Thus Nahusha was cursed by a Brahmana and later became a snake. Text 17. Indra's sins were diminished by the influence of Rudra, the demigod of all directions. Because Indra was protected by the goddess of fortune, Lord Vishnu's wife, who resides in the lotus clusters of Manasarovara Lake, Indra's sins could not affect him. Indra was ultimately relieved of all the reactions of his sinful deeds by strictly worshipping Lord Vishnu. Then he was called back to the heavenly planets by the Brahmanas and reinstated in his position. Text 18. O king, when Lord Indra reached the heavenly planets, the saintly Brahmanas approached him and properly initiated him into the horse sacrifice Ashwamedha Yajna, meant to please the Supreme Lord. Text 19 and 20. The horse sacrifice performed by the saintly Brahmanas relieved Indra of the reactions of all to all his sins, because he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that sacrifice. O king, although he had committed a gravely sinful act, it was nullified at once by that sacrifice, just as fog is vanquished by the brilliant sunrise. Text 21. King Indra was favored by Marichi and the other great sages. They performed the sacrifice just according to the rules and regulations, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, the original person. Thus Indra regained his exalted position and was again honored by everyone. Text 22 and 23. This is the last two verses of the chapter. In this great, very great narrative, there is glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. There are statements about the exaltedness of devotional service. There are descriptions of devotees like Indra and Dhritarashtra. And there are statements about King Indra's release from sinful life and about his victory in fighting the demons. By understanding this incident, one is relieved of all sinful reactions. Therefore, the learned are always advised to read this narration. If one does so, one will become expert in the activities of the senses. His opulence will increase and his reputation will become widespread. One will also be relieved of all sinful reactions. He will conquer all his enemies and the duration of his life will increase. Because this narration is auspicious in all respects, learned scholars regularly hear and repeat it on every festival day. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled King Indra Afflicted by Sinful Reaction. Om Gyanatim Anandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kro Devachalang Pangam Langhari Tevri Yat Kripataraham Bande Sri Gurum Jena Dharanam Vanchakapa Tuyubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devata Patitanam Bhavani Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Giradhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this last verse is kind of interesting, that by hearing this narration, one will become expert in the activities of the senses. Now one might wonder, well, we're trying to become free of the activities of the senses. But actually we're not trying to become free of them, we're trying to purify our senses. We also have pure senses. In the spiritual world they also have senses, but they're purified senses. The pure devotee also has senses, but he has purified senses. So this is what we're trying to attain. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite Sarvapati Mirutam Tat Pratvena Nirmalam. A devotional service means to engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses. And there's two side effects of this. One is that our senses become purified and we become free of all material designations. So someone who is able to control the senses is called a Goswami. It's difficult to be a Goswami. Most people are controlled by the senses and they're called Godas. Whatever their senses dictate to them, then they do that. They're dragged by their senses. But a devotee controls the senses. He pulls the senses away from the sense objects and engages them in the service of Krishna. Yeah. So Krishna, he is the master of the senses, and we're also meant to control our senses. We're also meant to be the master of our senses. But instead, most people are controlled by their senses. So this is one of the big problems in the material world, is controlling the senses and engaging them in the service of Krishna. But this is actually the pleasure of the soul. Srila Prabhupada, he says in one purport, that simply by hearing about Krishna, all the senses become purified. Simply by hearing about Krishna. So therefore, this is very important. Hearing. Just like you know that one great devotee that heard this verse about Putana being saved by Krishna. She tried to poison him, but she was liberated. What was it? Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He simply heard this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he just went in complete ecstasy. His body started shivering, and his hairs standing on end, and tears flowing for hours. This went on. Simply by hearing this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore it's so important. Shrimbatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hriyantastha yavajani virinoti suhitsitam. That Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul in the hearts of all living entities and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire from material enjoyment from the devotee who relishes his messages which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So just to relish the messages of Krishna is very, very purifying. We advance very quickly by simply hearing. And our senses become purified. We become detached from material sense gratification. It's like there was one devotee that approached Srila Prabhupada, one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I understand that these four regular principles are very important, but if we can just eliminate one of them, then I think this Krishna consciousness movement would grow vastly. If we can just eliminate this illicit sex regulated principle, then our movement will grow so quickly. This was his proposal to Srila Prabhupada. The Prabhupada said, no. No, we must follow these four regular principles. This is pleasing to Krishna. Whether people come or they don't come, that's up to them. But we have to be strict in our service to Krishna. So he was pushing this more. Still, he's trying to push it. And Prabhupada eventually said, if this is what you want, then go out and you start your own movement. The purity is the force. We're not out just to make a bunch of followers. We're out to please Krishna. And if some people see that they could advance in spiritual life by following what we're following, according to the dictations, the Vedas, then they're welcome. If not, then they can continue on in their way. But this is what is important, that we please Krishna. There's one statement, I think it was by Prabhupada Saraswati. He said, an intelligent person will cultivate utter humility with his thoughts, with his words, and with his actions. And if anything gets in the way of that, then he should avoid it. Very interesting verse. You know, it's difficult to be humble in Kali Yuga. False ego and senses are out of control. Very difficult. But if we control our senses, can control our senses, then it makes it much easier to develop this humility. But if our senses are out of control, then pride becomes very prominent. I was distributing books in one city in Idaho. Sarah mentioned it yesterday. Pocatello, Idaho. Really nice place for book distribution. You went there too, Savas? Very nice. They have a nice university there. So I had a table there. And one student came up to the table and was asking me about my beliefs. I said how we're monks, and he asked, "Oh, what kind of what vows do you accept as a monk?" And I explained the four regular principles. And this student looked at me and said, "You poor boy." Felt so sorry for me, because I had to follow these rules. Of course, we don't have to. It's a volunteer process. But actually, it's nice to control the senses and to fix our senses on the service of Krishna. Even Jamunacharya, he says, Yadavadhi mamachet Krishna padaravinde nava nava rasa dham yuanti mrati masi tadavadhi batanari sangame smaryamani. What's the rest of it? Yeah. I forgot the last line. It's a great verse by Jamunacharya. He says, since I've been engaged in the service of Krishna, experiencing ever fresh pleasure at every moment, whenever I think of sense gratification, my lips curl and I spit at the thought. So this is the real pleasure, is to engage in devotional service. These senses are purified. So this is the pleasure that everyone is searching for. And people that engage in this material sense gratification, they become frustrated. Flooded tapakari. That whatever we try to enjoy in this material world, that very thing that we're trying to enjoy becomes a source of pain. Just like you remember Hansel and Gretel. They were in the forest and they saw this house made up of candy. It's all kinds of sweets in the house. It was a gingerbread house or something. It's all kinds of cookies and candy. You can imagine how a child would just be in ecstasy. So these two children, they were like so overjoyed with happiness. Oh, let's go inside the house. And they went inside the house, and there was a witch in the house. What is this? It's a candy house, and there's a witch in it. So she threw them in the oven. So this is material life. They're thinking they're going to enjoy this nice candy house, and they end up in the oven. Of course, eventually they were able to escape and they threw the witch in there, right? Killed the witch. So that's also what we're meant to do. Maya's kind of lures us in there, try to enjoy the candy house. And sometimes we become a little lured. But we have to throw this witch of Maya in the oven, give up this Maya, this illusion that there's any pleasure in this material world. This is the big illusion, Maya. That we can find any real happiness in this material world. No, it's not possible. It's impossible. Because Krishna's not here. If we're in the material world, then we're Krishna conscious, we're serving Krishna, then we're happy. We're satisfied. So we have to somehow engage in this devotional service to Krishna. And here, in this verse, it goes on to say that his opulence will increase. And this is another thing. We don't want our opulence to increase. We want to become more detached. But here it says our opulence increases. But actually a devotee also has opulence. Not material opulence, although sometimes even that is there. We were just up in Apple Valley, and there's one nice devotee up there, Dr. Nanda, so we stayed up there. Beautiful house. But he's a devotee, and wherever you go in the house, there's Krishnas everywhere. Even had one nature, some big picture of nature. But he pasted a picture of Radha and Krishna in there. Prabhupada said, just add Krishna. So That's also there. There was one interesting pastime of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was at the temple, and one of his disciples came and visited him with his father. And this devotee's father was also very favorable to Krishna consciousness, but he wasn't very strict. So they went in to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the father, he was a little downcast, his head was down. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he asked him, "So, how are you?" He said, "Well, still struggling, trying to follow all the principles." He said, "You're still smoking, huh?" He said, yeah, still smoking. But then he looked up and he said, "But isn't there special mercy?" And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Yes, there's special mercy. Yasyaham anugranami hrishi taddanam shanai." Krishna said to show special mercy, I take away all of one's opulence so that the friends and family members of this man, they give up connection, thinking, what is this useless fellow? So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he asked this man, "So, do you want this special mercy?" He said, no, it's okay, I'll work it out. So this is why a lot of people in India, they don't want to be devotees of Krishna, because Krishna, he is known as Hari. He takes everything away. And in the Bhagavad Gita, most important verse, Sarvadharmam Parityajya Mamekam Saranam Vraja Ahang Tvam Sarvapapejo Mokshayasyami Maharaj. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Give everything up. Just surrender unto me. There was one person, so-called scholar, that translated, he said, "This is, Krishna's asking too much. He's asking too much here." So a lot of people feel that way. Therefore, they don't want to be devotees of Krishna. Krishna's asking too much. But actually what Krishna's asking is that we give these things up and surrender to him, and then he gives himself to us. And if we have Krishna, then what more do we need? Then we're completely satisfied. There is no more need. So this is real opulence. To be Krishna conscious, to be pure, is an opulence. This is an opulence. Recently I received one story. A devotee was distributing books, and he approached one man who looked rather wealthy. And it turns out that he was very wealthy. This devotee was working in the airport. And this man, he's got his own jet. He's got a private jet, but he had an emergency, so he was going through the airport to catch a plane and go somewhere. So this man started asking this devotee many questions. And he said, "People are very jealous of me because I'm so wealthy. They think I'm very happy because I'm so wealthy. But actually, I'm miserable. My son is in the rehabilitation center. My daughter is having an abortion, teenager. My wife is now in the middle of filing for divorce. So people see my wealth and they think I'm so happy, but no, I'm miserable." So then he started saying, the devotee started preaching to him about the books and Krishna consciousness. And he was so pleased with what this devotee was saying. He gave a nice donation, a huge donation. This devotee gave him Bhagavad Gita, he had a Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, gave him some other books. And then the man went on his way, but then he stopped. He turned around and he said, "From what you told me, you should just continue what you're doing and don't become a so-called successful person, because then you'll be finished. Better just do as you're doing. distributing books and giving people this knowledge so they can understand who they really are. He was very much appreciating the devotees. So this is real wealth, to be Krishna conscious, to be pure, to have this intense desire to serve Krishna. This is real wealth. Just like this Kulavichar Sridhar. He was making these banana cups. He was selling them. And half of the profit he would get, he would give for the worship of Mother Ganges. So poor. Can't imagine how poor he was. And people would feel sorry for him. And he would be considered homeless. Right? But Lord Chaitanya, he was given his blessings. What is that called? Mahaprakash, yes. So he was given blessings to all the devotees. Whatever you want, I'll give you whatever you want. And then he called for this Kulavichar Sridhar. And he told him, whatever you want, I'll give you. Just ask for it. I'll give you whatever you want. And this devotee was so pure. He was so satisfied. I don't want anything. All I want is that you come, and you come and you keep on trying to get my cups for deals. Because Lord Chaitanya, he would always come and he would try to get the lower price, from Kulavichar Sridhar. That's all I want. That birth after birth, you come and you keep doing this to me. This is so, to be satisfied in Krishna consciousness, this is real wealth. Just like this morning, Savas was reading how a devotee who is free of envy and who has no ill feelings towards anyone is happy wherever they go. Very nice verse, very nice. And there's a similar verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Akinchanasya dantasya santasya samachetasa maya santusta manasa sarvasukha maya dusa. Anyone who is free of material desires, who has no material hankering, whose senses are controlled, who is peaceful, who is satisfied in Krishna consciousness, wherever such a person goes, will only find happiness. So this is opulence, to be happy in any situation one is put in. It's like Srila Prabhupada, such a nice example of this. He was living in India, so much respected in India, such a great devotee. And then he goes to America, practically doesn't know anybody, living in New York City, bums living outside his steps, has his things stolen, just very, very uncomfortable situation. But he was completely in ecstasy, spreading Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Completely transcendental. So continuing with this verse. And his reputation will become widespread. So it's stated that that real reputation, a good reputation, is to be a great devotee of Krishna. Just like there's so many devotees now that are famous even millions of years later. Like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. I mean, who has such a reputation? Millions of years, their glories are being spread. Now all over the world. Previously it was just in India they were known. But now all over the world, these great devotees are known. So much respected because of being a great devotee. It's also said that if the whole world worships me, respects me, but if Krishna is not pleased, then what is the use of this respect or so-called reputation? If the whole world criticizes me and just knocks me down, but if Krishna is pleased with my activities, then who cares for such criticism? If Krishna is pleased, then this is perfection. So this is what a devotee is concerned about. It's pleasing Krishna. We're not concerned about whether others are happy. Prabhupada said, if you dance naked, people will be so happy. Yeah. But we're trying to please Krishna. We can do that, then this is our perfection in life. And this way the reputation increases and increases. Srila Prabhupada, although he's physically not with us, his reputation is so great all over the world. He's famous all over the world because of his purity. And the last one here, one will be relieved of all sinful reactions and you will conquer his enemies. So conquer the enemies. Generally we're not supposed to have enemies, but here it says conquer the enemies. So what are our real enemies? Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. These are the enemies that we're trying to conquer, that we're trying to become free of. Major enemies that we've had for so many births. And the only way to get free of these enemies, of this contamination, iti sadasakam nama, kali kalmasanasam, natta paratarupaya, sarvede sudrashite. That if one searches throughout the Vedic literature, one will not find a process so nice. And it can completely free one from all contamination, all sinful reactions, simply by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. On that note, is there any question or comment? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.